Welcome to Caffeine, Crime and Canines, a podcast brought to you by two girls who love their dogs, love coffee, but most importantly, love true crime.
How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been good, busy, as usual.
I know, same old, huh?
Uh-huh.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit better. I might be a bit sniffly today, but yeah, I've just got a blocked nose.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, not COVID.
I wonder if it's hay fever. I'm copying the worst hay fever at the moment. Yeah. It's driving me insane.
It's like, I think it's a pregnant symptom. Blocked nose.
Really? Well, we should announce this.
Yeah, we should, shouldn't we? Yes, I'm having pregnancy symptoms because I'm pregnant.
Which is so exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. Except for the blocked nose, it's driving me crazy.
I didn't even know that was a symptom.
Yeah, I don't know what it is or why. But I always had a blocked nose beforehand and now it's just like 10 times worse.
It's extra blocked. You actually sound very nasally.
Yeah, I'm like real blocked today. So I've got an appointment with a doctor tomorrow, so I'll see what I can do to unblock it.
Unnasal it up.
Yeah. Been having like really hot showers, like to steam up my nose to try and like unblock it. Like I don't know what else to do because I can't take like Sudafed or Nurofen.
Oh, like, okay.
So like I can't take the regular things that would unblock it.
That's so interesting. Hey, can you, and this doesn't sound so random, but like, you know, in the 90s, I don't even know if this thing still exists, but you put it in your room and you plug it in a wall and it smells like Vicks. Do you want to
Yeah, it's like a humidifier.
Yes. Can you use one of those?
Yeah, I'm sure I probably could.
Because that might work.
Yeah. I should get one. I did want to get one for the baby, so maybe I'll buy it early and I'll use it for myself.
Yeah. Such a good idea.
Yeah.
But other than that, you're feeling well?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, feeling fine.
So good. Anything else this week?
Not really.
No?
I've been pretty boring. One thing I did want to share on the podcast, was waiting for us to talk about me having a baby, but one thing that has I've completely gone off and makes me feel so sick is coffee.
No!
Yeah, and I forced myself, like for the first few months, I was forcing it on myself, trying to have a coffee every day, and it was making me so ill. As soon as I stopped drinking it, I felt fine.
Wow, that is so interesting.
Yeah, and it didn't matter what milk, if I had almond milk or normal milk, it was just, it's the actual coffee. So I haven't had a coffee in, like 3.5 months.
That is actually crazy. I'm sitting here talking about coffee and you're like, not feeling well.
I really hope that I drink it again. Like, I wonder if I'll ever go back to it after.
I think you might, because, like, isn't there, like, some things that you really crave through pregnancy and other things that you just don't want to bar off? And then, do you know what I mean? It's like the hormones.
Yeah. So I hope that I go back to normal and, drink coffee again. But, yeah.
You'll have to keep us posted. That's it. It's so funny. I'm literally sipping coffee like as we're talking.
See, I miss it. Like I miss getting up and have like it was like my favorite part of the weekends was getting up on early on the weekend and having a coffee. Like when Michael's still asleep, I just had the house to myself, having a nice coffee. I really miss it. I miss like the actual like behavior of having a coffee, not the taste.
See, that's great. Hey, can you have like a like how about like a what's it sorry, I used to have these all the time and now I'm completely blank. It's like vanilla-y. A chai?
Oh, like a chai. Yeah, I think so, but I don't really like cinnamon.
What?
Like I don't that mind is it. Weird. I don't mind it like in things. Like say like you have a banana cake that must have cinnamon. But like cinnamon
like flavor.
Yeah.
Wow. Not about it. Learning a lot today because like I love cinnamon and I put it on everything, like oats, you know, like I just love the taste. I think it's delish.
Yeah, unfortunately. No hot drinks. I haven't had any hot drinks.
Oh. No. You know what though? It's probably a good habit to kick.
Yeah. I think that's probably why I was so tired as well.
Because no coffee.
Probably my caffeine withdrawals as well.
That's so true. And you know what though? Because when you're pregnant, you can only have like a certain amount of coffee a day, huh?
Yeah, they say like 1 or 2 cups a day.
See, in my head, I always thought, I don't know if I can do that, you know? Yeah. But you've actually, like, proven maybe, like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can have decaf, like, decaf coffee.
Yeah.
But what's the point, really?
Yeah, exactly. Only psychopaths drink decaf. But we should definitely get into this week's case because it is huge. It is so big. So I think we should dive right in, Lucky.
Let's do it.
And I hope you've got, like, comfortable goggles on today.
Yeah.
Because it might be a bit longer than usual.
Let's go.
All right.
It's such a sad thing. It's crazy that it's been 10 years.
A decade later, and the question, what happened to Lauren Speer, remains unanswered. The IU Bloomington student disappeared in the early morning hours on this day 10 years ago. Since then, police and her family have continued to search for answers. Our Aaliyah Blackburn joining us now with some background on this case. And Aaliyah, let's start with what happened that night.
Well, it all started during a night out with friends, but what actually happened that night is still a mystery. During the early morning hours on June 3rd, 2011, Bloomington police say Speer was out with friends and acquaintances at Kilroy Sports Bar. Police say she went back to her home at 9th and College, but actually ended up at an acquaintance's apartment on West 11th Street. Police say that person was also with her that night. Around 4:30 that morning, police say Speer decided to walk home alone, leaving her last seen near the intersection of 11th and College. What happened after that has left many to guess and wonder, especially IU students at the time.
We came back to the fall semester, and I mean, there were flyers everywhere. You couldn't look anywhere. Like, every student had to have known about it. My friends and I, we were aware of it. I had a friend that worked at the paper, so, you know, she was doing a fair amount of coverage on it.
Speer was reported missing the following afternoon by a male friend, and since then, with help from other law enforcement, national search groups, and volunteers, Bloomington police searched numerous lakes, forests, and conducted countless interviews. Now, coming up in our next hour, where that investigation stands today, 10 years later, and why police say this is not a cold case. In the newsroom, Aaliyah Blackburn, Fox 59 News.
Okay, so today we'll be talking about Lauren Speer. So Lauren was born on the 17th of January, 1991, and she grew up in Scarsdale in New York. Mm-hmm. So she was really tiny. She was, like, standing at 4'11".
That's so small.
And she was only 90 pounds, which I literally had to Google because I have no idea about pounds, but that's, like, around 44 kilos.
Wow, yeah.
She was absolutely gorgeous, blonde hair, blue eyes. So she was, like, really cute and tiny.
Yeah.
So Lauren loved, like, the music of the 60s and the 70s. She loved playing soccer and lacrosse and loved fashion.
Yeah.
So after graduating from high school in 2009, she actually enrolled in, at Indiana University, where she was studying textiles and merchandising. So I think, like, her love for fashion, she wanted to work in that sort of industry.
Yeah, and that Indiana University, I think most years is in the top 10, like, biggest party schools in America.
Yes, it is a massive party university.
Yeah.
So Lauren, she was also really active in the Jewish community at Indiana University, and she'd also spent, like, previous, like, spring breaks planting trees, I think, like, in Israel on behalf of the Jewish National Fund.
Yeah.
She also had met her boyfriend at a summer camp, and this was, like, years earlier. So I think they were sort of, like, high school sweethearts. Like, they were together from high school.
Yeah.
There is a rumor, though, that at this particular camp where she did meet her boyfriend, she was actually kicked out of the program for drug use.
Oh.
But her family have gone, like, to sort of deny this. So it's sort of like some people say, you know, like, people have said it and her family have sort of denied it. So there's no real, like, evidence this actually took place.
It'd be interesting to know if the family deny her being kicked out altogether or they just deny that being the reason.
This is going to be, and I don't know that they've actually spoken about, like, in general. I think they've just denied, I don't think they've denied her using drugs because I think they sort of can't because you know, like a lot of friends have come forward and just said, and like you said, it's like a party university. Like, I'm sure they're like, I'm sure she's experimented, but I think they just deny her being kicked out of that camp for using drugs. So, but this goes to, like, I guess this goes in hand with Lauren actually had a really, like, a serious heart problem. And it was a condition called long QT syndrome. And it was like an irregular heartbeat. Like, I think, like, her beat was like, irregular, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it. So she was on medication for this.
Yeah.
So like you said, Indiana University was a massive party uni, and it was in a small college town named Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Lauren and her boyfriend of like many years, they actually both went to Indiana University, they didn't live together. They both lived off campuses with the roommates.
Yeah. So not in like student accommodation they were.
Yeah, so I think it, you know, I actually looked into this because I just found it interesting because a lot of this takes part out of like the grounds of the university. But from my understanding, like the students that had a little bit more money, like funding behind them, like their parents and stuff, they lived off campus in like student, do you know what I mean? Like dorms and not dorms, but like.
Just like apartment
buildings. Apartments, yeah, exactly. And then obviously if you didn't have as much money, you lived on campus.
Yeah.
And also I read that the security, so obviously the campus security, they're able to like must be raid your rooms and things like that, whereas if you're living off campus that doesn't happen. But everything was within like walking distance, like as I said, it's like a little town, and I think that gives you like a sense of security, like you feel safe because it's so small and everything's so close together. Okay, so this brings us to June 3rd, 2011. So Lauren's 20 years old and she's actually finished her classes for the semester but is waiting on her boyfriend Jesse to finish up his summer classes so then they can head back home together. So on this particular night, Jesse was home watching the NBA finals and his roommate was home also. So he spoke to Lauren like late in the evening and had texted her, I think like just like, as I said, late at night, and just said, call me if you wake up and want to talk. Like, so he's assuming she's going to go to sleep or she's going to bed. Shortly after midnight, though, Lauren actually heads out with a friend named David. So they both lived in this like apartment building and it was called Smallwood was the apartment complex. So they walked to their friend Jay's house and he was having like a house party. So there were heaps of other students then. Obviously they were all drinking and hanging out.
So did her boyfriend know she was planning to go out or
no?
He thought she was just going to go to bed.
Okay. Yeah, so I think the last communication between the two of them is that text that he had said, call me if you wake up. And just like the context of that text makes you think that he thinks she's going to go to bed.
Yeah.
Or she's gone to sleep. Yeah. Definitely. But in saying this, so they head to this guy Jay's house. So Jay, I'm going to say Jay, Jason, same guy, right? He actually is also friends with her boyfriend. So she had met Jay at this summer camp as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So you'd think that the boyfriend and the friend know each other.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she's just thinking, oh, maybe he's gone to bed and then she's decided, oh, I'll just go out and tell him the next day. Like it's not an actual secret, but I don't know. This is something that I think's like, it could have changed the whole evening, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, Jay, at Jay's house, he actually had friends from out of town. So that's a note for later.
Mm.
So he had people staying with him. So David doesn't stay long. So David's the guy that she went to Jay's house with. And he's caught on camera, like, soon after just heading back to their Smallwood apartments.
Yeah.
And he's caught on camera as well. So did I say that already? Fuck.
Yeah, and by himself.
So Lauren leaves Jay's party around 1:30 to 1:45 and she's with a guy named Corey. Now, Corey, I think she'd only met him like a week before and the two of them head to this place called Kilroy's Sports Bar.
Yeah, and it's quite late in the night to go out.
I know, well. Really, yeah. Like, it's only like 3-minute walk though from Jay's house, so it's, as I said, quite close. But yeah, I feel like those sort of maybe towns, like, they're just, the nightlife is a lot crazier, I guess, than like a normal town. And not only that, but because they had finished for the semester, so I'm guessing most of the like students don't have classes or like uni to worry about.
Yeah.
So this Kilroy Sports Bar, it's actually like a popular hangout, but it's more like a club than like a bar. Yeah. And it's got like a sandy outdoor area, which has got like, it's like a beach, like it's got like sand and like beach chairs and things like that. So heaps of students usually like take off their shoes because of the sand.
That's so random.
Isn't it? So Lauren, don't forget, she's only 20, so she's underage at the time, and the assumptions are that Corey is buying her drinks.
Okay, so he's 21.
I think he's actually a little bit older. He might even be 22, 23.
Yeah, okay, yep.
And they've only, like, she's only known this guy for a week.
Yeah.
So another thing to, like, I guess, point is that that Kilroy's, it was, like, in a, like, university little town, so they were pretty chill with, like, letting people in. Like, I think that I had read online that someone's, like, I literally had an ID that looked nothing like me, but, like, I'd get in with no problems.
Yeah.
But I know that after this particular evening, I think they did get quite strict because people that are there at the moment say that they're one of the strictest in town.
Oh, wow, okay.
So witnesses say that Lauren was actually stumbling and needed Corey's help while she was there. Like, she was smashed.
Yeah.
So around 2:30 a.m., so they're there for like just under an hour, Corey and Lauren are spotted leaving Kilroy's. And this again is caught on camera.
Yeah.
Lauren is barefoot. She's pretty drunk. And unbeknownst to her, she's left her phone and her shoes at the bar.
That's
weird. So the two of them walk back to Lauren's apartment complex. And again, it's only a few minute walk to get back there.
Mm-hmm.
So they make it to the floor of her apartment, which is like the fifth floor. But when they exit the lift, Corey gets into like a fight with these other students. And I'm pretty sure it was three other guys. One of them's name is Zach Oates or Zachary Oates. And the rumor is that these group of boys were friends with Lauren's boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they didn't like the look of what was happening. They thought like Corey was taking advantage of Lauren
because
she was so drunk.
I guess like if he'd only known her for a week as well, like he'd probably have not much respect for the boyfriend.
Exactly. The relationship as well. Yeah. Exactly right. And Lauren's dad is quoted saying, I believe the reason why Corey got hit was because of what they were observing as far as Lauren's condition and Corey's behavior was concerning.
Yeah, yeah.
And Zach has also come out and said that he had said to Corey, I got this, because obviously he knows her. So he's like, oh, you know, like, I'll take her back to the apartment. And sorry, Zach had offered to help, and Corey is the one who said, I got this. And then Zach punched him like in the face. So it was a full blown like sort of fight.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is where things get really weird. So this is like 12 minutes later after this altercation, Corey and Lauren are caught again on camera leaving her apartment block.
Yeah, so he didn't drop her home. That's the first weird detail.
Yes.
Like, why would you go there and then decide not to drop her home?
Exactly. And she's right there and she's really drunk.
Yeah.
But then do you think it's because, like, I think like this could have gone either way. Like, she could have said, oh no, like they're going to call Jesse, like her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then she was like, couldn't be bothered dealing with it. Or Corey, which honestly is what I'm leaning towards. He was buying her drinks all night, getting her drunk. He probably did want to like get it in.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, thought like, oh, this is just too much trouble to go back to her house. How about if the boyfriend does show up or if these guys come back, I'll take her back to mine. So they're, as I said, they're seen leaving her apartment and they walk through this alleyway to get to Corey's apartment. Now, at one point, Corey is seen carrying Lauren in a fireman's carry.
Yeah, what is that? Is that over the shoulder or is that like...
Well, you know what? There's two ways that I had searched it could be. I guess it depends on where you're from, but exactly over the shoulder. And another one that I saw was like literally like legs on one shoulder and sort of like head on the other. Yeah,
head on the other. See, that's full on.
Yes.
That is full on to me.
And witnesses have actually observed, like said that they observed her falling over multiple times. And one time she literally, she didn't even break her fall. Like she fell flat on her face on the concrete.
My God.
So, yeah, this is really concerning. Like if you think about it, that she's, you know, like he could have put her into bed, gotten her water like and a bucket, you know, and her roommate was home as well.
Yeah, that's... And the carry gets me as well because that's like, it's like he's determined to get her to another location.
Exactly, exactly right. Now, in this alleyway, she drops her ID and her keys and they're later discovered. So we're pretty sure it was through this, like, obviously through this time that she had dropped that stuff.
Yeah.
So now when they get to Corey's apartment, Corey actually vomits. Like everywhere. And his roommate. He's
drunk as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? But how drunk would he be if he's carrying her?
Yeah, that's true.
So he's got a roommate. The guy's name's Mike. And apparently he was up working on an assignment. And he helped Corey get to bed.
Yeah.
So he puts, so as I said, Corey's sick, gets into bed. Mike now is left with Lauren, who he doesn't really know. And she's obviously really drunk.
Yeah.
There's all different reports as to, like, what Mike said, like, happened. But some reports are that she wanted to keep partying and keep drinking.
Yeah.
And she'd also said, like, come back to my house and stuff like that. So he wasn't, like, having a bar of it.
Mm.
He actually took her next door. So next door is where the original party was. Remember that other friend I was telling you about, Jay, that where they started and that she had known that guy from the camp?
Yeah.
So he lived next door to Corey and Mike. So Mike drops Lauren off at Jay's house.
Yep. Sorry, which is probably the right move.
Yes, I definitely think so.
Yeah, yeah.
At least, you know, she's with someone she knows that cares about her, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you'd think, like, they're friends. Yeah. And it's not just someone she's met, you know?
Yeah.
So this is around 3:30 a.m. So Jay says that when she got to his, she had a black eye and she was super drunk.
Yeah, which would make sense because she hit her head so many times.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. He tried to convince Lauren to like sleep on the couch and just sort of sleep it off, but she refused. And while she was at Jay's, she makes two calls from his phone.
Okay.
Now, one we know is to David. Sorry, I hope this is getting so confusing, but David is the guy that she had originally gone to the house with, you know, that lives in her apartment block.
Yeah. The one that left early.
Yeah. Exactly. So she calls him and I don't think he answers. And another call was to an unknown male friend. We don't know who this is.
Okay. Where are all the girls at? Like, why is this? Lucky.
This is something that I literally have a note to talk to you about because that's exactly right. It's just, I feel like it's really interesting that she's surrounded by males and she's got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
So around 4:30 a.m., Jay watches Lauren head back to her home.
Mm-hmm.
She's barefoot. It's dark. Remember, she's got no phone, no keys, and, like, no ID. I'm guessing her purse was dropped with the ID, you know? And that is the very last sighting of Lauren. So the last sighting is she was turning on the corner of 11th Street at College Avenue.
Okay, yeah.
And these particular apartments, because when I was researching, I was like just trying to picture them. And there's a 2020 episode on Lauren's case, and they actually show the apartments. And I'm quite sure, as like Lauren's, I'm guessing was like sort of like a tower of apartments. Like as I said, she was on the fifth floor. Whereas these two guys, they look like they were just like housing side by side, like more like like, oh, what do you even
like
call
units
them?
Almost.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, and when you open like the door of Jay's house, like he would have been able to see her walk up his street and turn. So he didn't actually walk with her.
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense. So the following day, Jessie, her boyfriend, is trying to get in contact with her. And around lunchtime, a staff member at Kilroy's answers Lauren's phone.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells Jessie that Lauren had left her phone there the night before.
Yeah.
So Jesse's now worried. He's like, what the heck? Because I'm guessing he didn't even know that she'd gone out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he can't get in contact with her. So he tracks down Lauren's roommate to get access to the apartment to check on her.
Yeah.
And when she isn't there, he's obviously stressed and he is the one to report Lauren missing.
Yeah.
So her parents arrive in Bloomington, like in Bloomington, really like short after, like I'm guessing it's within the day or so.
Yeah.
And the police are quite quickly to respond and, do you know what I mean, like classify her as a missing person, and the search takes off really quickly.
Yeah.
And they obviously are trying to track her last steps. This is like really odd. So there is no camera footage of her walking home from Jay's that night.
Yeah, which is weird because there's so much camera footage of her before.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly right. Now, there are rumors that there was something wrong with a few cameras like at that complex where like Jay and Corey lived.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, from that 2020 episode, that shouldn't really matter because it wasn't like a complex. It was like street housing. So I don't know how there wasn't other cameras like on the street from other businesses. As I said, everything was walking distance.
Yeah.
So there would have been so many like speckled along her way home. And obviously we know there was ones in that alleyway. Even if she took a different route home, you'd think that something or someone would have seen or it would have been caught on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I do need to mention, like we were talking about earlier, there are claims of drug use that evening.
Yeah, which would make sense.
Yeah, and these haven't been verified. So I guess it just depends who you believe or I guess who it's coming from or who you talk to. But one of the things that is reported is Klonopin. Have you heard of that? Tablets?
Yeah, Klonopin, yeah.
Yep, and apparently these were like crushed and snorted. And cocaine, obviously with drinking as well, like this is like troubling because she has a heart condition.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is where it is sort of tough because you never like you don't know that this actually happened. And people that have said this, they might actually have an ulterior motive, which sucks. But at the same time, she had been arrested, like I think it was like 9 months earlier for like was it drunken in public or something? And it's hard because it's like it was only males she was around that night. You know, if she had like a girlfriend there and she said that, you'd be more like inclined to believe her because she probably wouldn't have the same like do you know what I mean? She wouldn't be trying to cover up as much as maybe what the guys would be. But yeah, so that we definitely do need to put it in, but it isn't verified.
Okay. Yeah.
In saying that, there was a small amount of cocaine that was found in her room when it was searched.
Yeah.
So I guess like whether she had a drug problem or she just, do you know what I mean? Like dabbled a little bit, do you know what I mean? Like
partying.
Yeah, exactly. But if she did, like, if it was just, like, a party thing, you can see that she could have had, like, a bad reaction because she wasn't as familiar with, like, taking drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
So all four boys, so this is Jessie, her boyfriend, Jason / Jay, Corey and Mike all lawyered up really quickly.
Yeah.
Jessie actually helped search for 2 days for Lauren. But when his parents got to Bloomington, they actually took him back home with them to New York.
And so they were trying to protect him.
Yeah.
I don't think he had anything to do with it.
I don't either.
Yeah.
And, like, I think, like, so much still, I guess, theories on what happened that night and suspects. So maybe we'll talk as we get into each person because more info will come out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But so first I really want to talk about Jesse, her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So his alibi that night was that he was watching the NBA till midnight. And I said, as I said, his roommate was home and they both say that he went to bed around 2:30 a.m. that night.
Yep.
So speculation, I guess, with him is that maybe, remember that confrontation in the hallway at her home, like maybe because they were friends, like maybe they called Jesse and said, listen, like Lauren's with some guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he's obviously gotten angry because she lied to him about going out that night, and he's like gone to look for her, like he's driven around, gone to look for her, and you know, somehow they've their paths have crossed.
Mm.
The only thing with that theory is I think that if that did happen, one, like he wouldn't have thought in his head, I want to harm her. He probably would have just been like I'm angry. Like I want to tell her off, I want to find her, make sure she's all right, sort of thing. So I don't think in his head he would have thought, I'm going to leave my mobile at home and be, like, sneaking around Bloomington to find her. Like, it would have been more of, like, an accident situation, which means it's more likely he would have, one, been caught on camera, or two, they would have been able to track his phone.
And I don't think, like, if he'd found out that she was out with a guy, I don't think getting in your car and driving around would be the first thing that you do.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Try and call her or whatever.
Exactly.
So it'd be interesting to see the phone. Like, did he call her during the night or...
That's exactly right. Yeah. And not only that, but I feel like that's something pretty easy you could rule out, because couldn't you just check that Zach guy's phone records to see if he called?
Exactly, yeah.
So I feel like that's something that's really easily ruled out. I mean, people say that it's really sus that he lawyered up really quickly and didn't search, you know, for more than 2 days for her. But I think that's more his parents trying to protect him.
And, like, the whole lawyering up thing, like, we always say in, you know, most episodes, like, you don't talk to the police without a lawyer, whether you're innocent or guilty, like,
exactly.
They've got a way of turning everything around on you. So I don't see that to be that odd either.
I lawyering up is the smart thing to do, even if you're innocent.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is got to Bloomington. He actually confronted Corey. And it had said, like, you know, like, where is she or whatever. So I feel like that, again, points that, like, why would he do that if
I reckon he got that she went out with this guy.
I don't know where she is. And then, you know, he's sort of like, no, you're not going to talk to him. I'll talk to him.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
Sort of trying to protect him. Now, with that, remember something about that rumor earlier on about how she got kicked out of that summer camp where she met Jesse? This actually came from Jesse's mum.
God, that's rude.
Isn't it?
But she's also obviously trying to protect him as well. Like
exactly.
She said that to try and say, oh, well, this girl had a drug problem. So, you know.
Yes. Like, and she did make some harsh comments, because even
why this isn't.
Like, it isn't as public knowledge. Like, the police or the detectives haven't spoken about whether she was on drugs or not, because it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, she's
gone.
Exactly. So it shouldn't matter what if she did something that night or if she didn't. That's not the point, you know.
Yeah.
But obviously he's, like, Jesse's mum's quite defensive and has come out and said quite a few things, like, yeah, as like Lauren's got a drug problem and Jesse used to take care of her, and the one time she doesn't go out with him, like, this is what happens. Like, Jesse's got nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
So, it's a pretty crap situation. Now, Jesse would not take the Bloomington polygraph.
Yeah.
But he has taken and passed a polygraph with, like, a private polygraph guy.
Yeah.
And this guy, he used to be, like, a former FBI agent. So I don't think like, what would this FBI guy, why would he lie, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, again, we say constantly we would never take a polygraph.
Wouldn't, yeah. So. Yeah, I freaking wouldn't either, yeah. So Jesse, even though he hasn't been, like, as – I think hasn't spoken with the parents, like, I think the first few days, obviously, was quite close to them and helped them and stuff, but after he lawyered up, he hasn't spoken with the parents. And people are like, oh, that's so sus or whatever, but he has worked with police and answered all the FBI's questions. So at the end of the day, I think he and his family are just protecting him, and I don't think he had anything to do with it.
No, I don't think so either.
Because especially with the phone stuff, that would have come out. So
yeah, I agree.
Our next person I want to discuss is Corey. So Corey's the new friend that she had met just a week before.
Yep.
So I definitely think Corey was into her.
Yeah, I think he was trying to.
Yeah.
Trying to bring her back to his house, yeah.
100%. And, like, that was his motive, you know?
Yeah.
So, like we said before, the fact that they were at her apartment, and if he cared about her, he could have literally just put her into bed and it would have been sort of – the night would have been done. She's home, safe. I mean, like, if you really – like, he could have stayed there, you know? But the fact that he took her back to his apartment, I think, speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Also, there's, like, I guess rumors, like, could he have slipped her something, and that's why she was just so drunk?
Yeah, that's possible. But I also think it seems like she was pretty willing to do anything. Like, she was a bit of a partier, so I don't think it would have been hard to get her to do drugs or whatever.
Yeah, exactly right. And
whether, like, he slipped her something or not, he may have, you know, coaxed her into maybe doing more, or I don't know, but I think he definitely influenced her in some way.
100%. Yeah, he's definitely a bad influence. And, like, he claims that he lost his memory after that punch, like that he was concussed or something.
But not concussed enough to, like, he still carried her and walked all the way home.
Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
And not only that, but, like, if he, let's just say Mike, his roommate, did he wake up at 9 is like, where the heck's Lauren?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I've spent all this money on her. Like, I don't know, like, I've been trying all night. And, like, I feel like it's not too far-fetched to believe that he would have gotten up and then gone to look for her.
Especially in a town like this where everyone was so close. Like, it's different, I guess, if, like, we, you know, like in a normal town where it might be a bit of a walk away or a drive, but because it's all so close, I feel like that's not very far-fetched to think, because you're just like walking to the next building almost, or like.
Exactly. But the only problem I have with that theory is, why the heck would Mike, but I guess if Michael went back to sleep or just didn't know, then all right, he's out of the equation. Let's just say he drops Lauren off next door, and then he goes back to in his bedroom, shuts his door and goes to
Jason.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if it was Corey, it was only.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's gotten back up. He could have, like, opened his door and then, like, he's seen her walking up the road, you know?
Yeah.
Footage, this kills me. Wouldn't you think that there'd be footage, or, like, he would have put his phone in his pocket to go find her? Because in my mind, I don't think that he, which this is, like, it's hard because we're talking about this, but then we're going into people, and then, like, do you know what I mean? There's theories as well. Like, one of, obviously, like, we've sort of been, like, talking about it without saying it, but let's just say she overdosed.
Okay.
Or she had
her heart
problem, didn't go well with the drugs, and she has, like, overdosed, or something's happened to her. I honestly think that, like, I don't think Michael would have backed up Corey's story. And then why the heck would why the heck would Jason/Jay gotten involved?
Yeah.
You know? I feel like if it was Corey, it would have had to have happened to Jay's house.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But I honestly don't think this guy's completely innocent. Like, he's obviously I feel like he's just a typical 20s guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he had anything to do with it, but I think he definitely should feel responsible for her not getting home safe.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And again, I don't think it's that sus that he lawyered up.
No.
Because he did spend most of the night with her.
Exactly. Yep.
Huge point on Corey is that he refuses to sit down with her parents and like their PI, but he will help the police.
Okay.
And this makes me think like maybe he just doesn't want Lauren to sound bad. Like he doesn't, like if they were doing drugs and stuff like that, like maybe he just doesn't want to say that.
Yeah. I feel like, but why would he care about it like that though?
I don't think he cares about her. I think he cares about him.
Himself, yeah.
You know? Yeah. Another thing is maybe he just, like, maybe he was drunk and he just can't really remember. So, like, what's he going to say when everything's a blur anyway?
Yeah.
Obviously, Corey doesn't really trust the Bloomingdale police either. And, again, he'd only take a polygraph.
Yeah.
Her parents, Lauren's parents, have said that if she had never met Corey, she'd still be alive today.
Oh, which is probably true.
Yeah, because really? I don't even think you could take that two ways. You could take that like he's done something to her, or just the evening in general is his fault.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because she was so close to being home safe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His car and apartment have all been searched though.
Yeah. Yeah, and found nothing.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. See, I don't think he had anything to do with it, but yeah, I do agree with the parents.
Yeah. I'm like, about this, about with Corey. I think that if, as I said, I think that if he did, I feel like there's too many people. Like, you can't have all these people involved. Like, you can't have Jason, Michael, Corey, and all those people that were staying at Jason's involved. Like, it would have gone out.
Yeah,
you know exactly. What I mean? So yeah. If it was Corey, it was him alone, and maybe he didn't know about her heart problem. He somehow has caught up with her, and you know what I mean? Something's happened. But I do think that it's harder to be Corey than someone else. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't even know if that makes sense. But, yeah, so Michael is, again, Corey's roommate. He was, like, the second last, technically, person to see her.
Yeah.
I think he's probably the most unlikely out of the guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he wanted to get rid of her.
Yeah.
The only way he could possibly be involved, which I think is way too far-fetched, is that she did overdose and he's helped his friends cover it up.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Yeah. So this guy in particular, I've got so much questions regarding Jay. So he's the friend, obviously, that she's had for years. I think he holds so much information, Lockie.
Yeah, I know.
Like, why didn't he call her boyfriend when she rocked up?
Yeah.
Like, had she sobered up? Because he makes it out to, like, I guess it's not just him, because Michael said the same thing, that she, you know, that she wanted to go back to her apartment and keep partying. And she did want to keep drinking, and you know what I mean? Like, she wasn't done for the night. So the fact that both Jason and Michael say that, I feel like you can't completely say it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But, like, did he know she had a heart problem, you know? Mm-hmm. Have his friends from out of town been questioned?
Yeah.
Because there is a massive rumor that his friends left, like, early the next morning.
Oh, okay.
And that there, I think, is sus.
Yeah.
Especially if they were up at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, how many people were staying at his house that night?
Yeah.
Not only that, but she was tiny.
Yeah.
Like, her body wouldn't have been that hard to hide.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, there are theories online that, again, she OD'd at Jay's house. There's actually so much regarding this overdose sort of mixed with the heart condition thing. But one is that, yeah, she overdosed, that maybe there was, like, drug, like, they were like not massive drug dealers, but they sold drugs. You know what I mean? So they couldn't have that sort of like the police over or that sort of like attention on them.
Yeah.
And like someone from Jay's, like he's out of town, friends have put her in a suitcase and then, like on their way home have dumped her in like Ohio River.
It'd be interesting to know, like, you know, like when Michael dropped her off at Jay's when he wanted to get rid of her, how long was she at Jay's for before she decided she was going to walk home?
An hour. I'm pretty sure it's an hour. So I'm pretty sure Michael drops her off around 3:30 and then, Jay says she leaves around 4:30.
That's interesting.
So an hour, give or take.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and this is just one thing which I think is huge, right? So let's just say, like, at the start, Jay's feeling like, fuck, like, he's feeling guilty. Yeah. He's thinking, like, obviously this is to an extent his fault. So he tells, like, investigators that he watched her leave. How about if he just never watched her leave?
Yeah, possibly.
And I feel like that is such a massive point because if he didn't watch her leave, she could have gone back to Corey. She could have gone – she might not have gone that way home. Like, there's just too much that could have happened. Like, that would open it up so much more for me if he didn't watch her leave.
Yeah, and I find it weird. Like, why care enough that you think that you need to, you know, watch her walk a little distance home but not care enough to actually take her home? Or
yes.
Hmm.
Like, it opens it up so many more if he didn't watch her leave. But the fact that he says he did that, there is no footage of her.
Yeah.
Incredible job trying to track down, you know, footage of that evening. And she's not on any footage. To the point. Like, I was going to talk about that after, but I'm just going to pop it in now. Is. They had found, like, this weird, like, white ute thing driving around that time. And I think they've tracked down the owner and he had nothing to do, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like a tradie or something.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing to do with it. But if they've gone to that much effort, like, and they've been able to find, like, vehicles, I just feel like they have done a really great job investigating. And what about if she just never left that apartment?
Yeah, exactly. What if that was the last time anyone saw her?
Exactly. And how are you going to prove it apart from so her parents actually filed a lawsuit against Corey, Michael and Jason, and that accused them of negligence because they didn't look after her that night. But ultimately, like, that lawsuit was dismissed.
Yeah, I mean, she's an adult.
Like they sort of did it, like, as in, like, I don't even know how to say it, like, backdoorish, because they wanted to be able to see all their phone.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so
yeah.
They filed that lawsuit so then they could have a look at all the other information connecting to her case, if that makes sense. So, but yeah, ultimately that was dismissed.
Yep.
So we've spoken about this a bit, but the actual overdose, I think it's likely and it's plausible. If she was on drugs and was drinking with a heart condition, and especially if these people didn't know, I can see a situation where they've and hidden the body, even though they had nothing to do with it, especially if they were selling drugs and stuff.
Yeah, or they were responsible. They were giving it to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? This situation could have also happened with, like, a stranger.
Yeah.
Like, let's just say, like, someone picked her up and then she's, like, overdosed in their car. They're going to be like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And they freaked out. You know what I mean? They don't want to get into trouble. I know that, like, a lot of, like, people in that area do think that it was an overdose and that her friends covered it up. Like, that's the story in that area.
Yeah.
This particular theory is that so many people would have had to keep their mouth shut.
I agree. And, like, it's a big deal for, like, a bunch of 20-year-old guys to all of a sudden decide they're going to cover up an overdose as well.
Exactly. Like, I think it would have been leaked. Now, like, there's, like, two points to this point. One, So usually, you know, when like it leads to an arrest or leads to something, they usually don't have a lawyer with them. From the very beginning, has obviously worked in their favor if they are guilty.
Yeah.
And another thing is, apparently there's like, and like as you said earlier, there's like a massive party square, and there's like this ex druggy guy, right, that went to IU.
Mm.
Anyway, this guy, he ends up in jail because he's just like so over, like the like high on drugs, whatever. He apparently was like naked one day. In jail, he's like sitting, I don't know, with some jailmate, and Lauren comes up on the news, and he says, "I got rid of her body like it was an overdose." And do you remember, they just freaked out and got rid of her.
Yeah,
but he denied.
Oh, he denied even, saying it.
Yeah, he denies saying it. He's like, "No, I hadn't like not like do you know what I mean? Nothing like this did not happen. Like I never said that. Whatever." He denies that this happened or that he said this. But again, it's in that 2020 episode. I'm pretty sure the police are like, well, if anything does come to you, do you know what I mean? Like to your knowledge that, and you know, that anything to do with Lauren's case, would you let us know? And he says, no. It's like, I won't be helping you. And I don't want to be like, I don't want anything to do with this, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, what are your thoughts on the overdose?
I mean, I think it's, yeah, I think that's probably the most likely scenario. I mean, like I did say, it's weird for a bunch of 20-year-old guys to decide all of a sudden they're gonna cover up an overdose, but you never know what their state of mind was also like, because they could have been, you know, just as drunk or just
as high. Just thought, yeah,
that was the best thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. Know? And because they are immature, like,
yeah,
it's hard. You know, I feel like it would have been, if it was like Corey and the people that didn't know her as well, I feel like that would have been more. The fact that she went to Jay, someone that she'd known from high school, that's what I guess, like, I'm being a bit more reserved. Like, oh, I just don't know.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably where I would lean.
Yeah.
To what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same. I am definitely leaning towards that. But we do have to talk about abducted by a stranger.
Yeah.
Now, even though this is really rare, she was not an ideal target.
Mm, yep.
She was really vulnerable, and she, like, because of her size, tiny. She was tiny.
Yep. Yep.
So police do think that that's unlikely, as, again, there's no footage, and they've combed through the footage. There is reports, again, this is so freaking weird, there's reports that a homeless man heard a scream around 4:30 in the morning, that morning, like a woman screaming. But he was unable to be, like, fully interviewed because he died, like, a few days after this.
See, I think if she was as wasted as what everyone says she was, I don't think she would have screamed. Her reaction time would not have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I don't, so think,
true.
I don't, if she was murdered or abducted, I don't think she would have screamed, because she would have been that out of it.
Yeah, exactly. I tend to agree with you. There's like, a witness who's, like, a bar manager. He had said that he'd seen someone, like, again, fling her over his shoulders and carry her. But again, we think that the time, like, he said that it was around 4:30, but like, police seem to think that this was most likely that Corey situation. You know how we put her in that phone?
And he was just a bit confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, even though we did say, like, the stranger on stranger sort of thing is quite, like, it's not common, it does happen. And it actually happened in 2015.
Okay, yeah.
So there was a girl named Hannah Wilson, and she had only been missing for one day when her body was found. And at when her body was found, at the bottom of her body there was a mobile phone, and it belonged to her killer. And it was a local guy named Daniel Messel.
Yeah.
And he was an absolute creep. Look, apparently he was well known for just
creeping around people.
Oh. So a freaky thing about this is that Hannah was actually at the exact same bar that Lauren was at, and she had left by herself and gone home, and was like, she was pretty drunk. At 1 a.m. she had called and spoken to her friend, and I'm guessing it's like the like early morning or the next day when her roommate returns home, they find the door wide open and her phone and all her belongings were inside.
Okay.
So this guy, Daniel Messel, he was like a single man, worked at a print shop, and lived in like a caravan park.
Yeah.
So apparently he always was creeping around like Bloomington asking like girls if they wanted a ride and stuff like that. And everyone knew him. And there's multiple reports being creepy or like, I don't know, touching a leg when they get. So
was this guy convicted of that, Hannah Wilson?
Yes. And that was. But this is the thing. He's so effing dumb. He left his mobile at the freaking crime scene. Like, how would he have gotten away with Lauren? Like, yeah, you know, exactly. I feel like he's too dumb.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
But in saying that, even the guy that was like the investigators on her case have said that the MO is really similar.
Yeah. But you could argue that for a lot of guys. And yeah. When it comes to, you know, a girl being taken.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know.
That's so true. You know what the craziest thing of all is that he was well known in the area. So I'd love to know if, like, Lauren's friends had heard of him.
Yeah.
But you know what else as well with this guy? Like, you'd think again that it would have been caught on camera. Like, if he's left his phone at the scene, I doubt that he's smart enough to, like, be avoiding cameras all over Bloomington.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Again, there would be footage.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I've got just a few more little things that I need to tell you, and one of them has got my mind spinning.
Okay.
Have you heard of the serial killer named Israel Keyes?
Yeah, I have done a bit of reading on him.
Wow.
I'm not 100% across, like, his whole deal, but, yeah, I do know that this is a TikTok theory on this case.
So there's a TikTok theory and there's an Israel Keyes theory.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm going to quickly tell you both theories because I think I both need to talk about both of them, and you know how much I love a bit of conspiracy. So So Israel Keyes, serial killer. So what he used to do is he used to, like, bury, like, murder kits all over America. Right. And when I first, like, I was like, I've heard, I'm like, I've heard a little bit about him. I was like, yeah. This week, honestly, when I started listening to this podcast called, I think it's called True Crime Bullshit. Mm-hmm. And it's about him, and I am creeped the F out. Right. And he literally, like, one, he loved, like, he had said that he had, like, read books and really liked watching, what's that show we like watching? Fire Out. I'm actually gone blank. You know, it's got all the actual serial killers in it, and they're Mindhunter. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
So that he watched that and he'd read books on it and stuff, right? And he was just really intrigued. Like, there's like a lot of interviews with him, right? So I'll literally just quickly give you an overview. One, he was like obsessed with missing people. Like, he had, like, an obsession. So when he'd kill people, he wanted them to, like, And he used to, like, bury, like, yeah, like, kill kits all over America. And when he'd go on, like, a kill, what he'd do is he'd, like, fly somewhere or he'd go somewhere and he'd only pay cash, right? So there's, like, no trace of him. And he'd let the victim come to him. So he wouldn't go hunting for a victim. He'd let them, like, he'd go somewhere to, like, a remote area and just let them come to him. And he'd turn off his phone and shit. It's actually really creepy, and we'll have to cover him one day. But this particular time when Lauren went missing, apparently he was, like, visiting, or he was nearby visiting his mum, who's 3 hours away. And it was one of the times that his phone was off. So usually when his phone and everything's off, it usually means he's, do you know what I mean? Like, he's in a kill. Yes. Yep. It's really freaking interesting. And one of the interviews that I listened to, they were talking to him, like, investigators are talking to him, and they're like, what do you look for? He's like, well, I don't always get what I look for. But he actually says, oh, I usually like someone small. Like, do you know what I mean? He's just the easiest. And it literally sent chills down my spine. Like, it's far-fetched, but it's not. It's
possible. It's definitely possible. Yeah.
Exactly. So I definitely wanted to pop that in there. And, if anyone is even interested in this Israel Keyes, I'd definitely suggest listening to this True Crime Bullshit. And it's full episodes about him. And I've only just started. So maybe I'll give you a rundown when I'm done. But lucky last theory, and this has literally popped up in the last month or so. Now, this is the TikTok theory. So, apparently there's, like, this game that you can play online. It's called, like, Roubette. Yeah. Roubette. Yeah. And what it is it's, like female dealers and stuff. I don't know if it's like card game. So it's pretty much like casino, like, do you know what I mean? Like some sort of casino games and stuff. Anyway, all the dealers are female. They all look really tired. They've got puffy eyes. There's one particular, which is, again, if you just Google TikTok, you'll be able to see it, theory, Lauren Spear, where this guy's recording, like he's playing a game and he's recording his dealer. And while he's playing, she passes out, right?
Drugged out or something.
Yes, like it's freaking weird. I don't know if you've seen it. So she passes out and the girls, like, you can sort of see it's set up like a casino. There's girls behind her and they're not, don't even got to help her. They're just sitting at their desks still doing stuff. And one of the girls like puts her hand up, right? Anyway, these two guys come and like pick up his dealer and she's like attached to a chair when they drag her out.
Oh,
it's freaking weird. Like, it is weird. And if you look, some of the girls are wearing masks and some aren't, right? So people are like, why are some wearing masks and some aren't? And some are like, and they're not, obviously they're not sitting close to each other, whatever. And then people are like, are they wearing masks because they're like missing people or something? Yeah. Wow. And then someone's found one particular girl that's one of these female dealers and they seem to think she looks like Lauren.
Oh, my gosh.
And they've put her face side by side. I mean, I wouldn't say it definitely could pass as her, but I don't know. You know, like I feel okay. I can see what they mean.
Yeah.
And it does look older. Like I can definitely see what they mean. But again, like this is an incredible theory to the point where her family have actually taken this to the police, even though it's, I don't think it is Lauren, but it's, there's something weird going on in this place.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting.
Isn't it? So even though it has been 10 years, police are adamant that it, like Lauren's case is not a cold case. Yeah, and they're still issuing, like they've issued 10 search warrants in the last 3 years. So they're still investigating her case and trying to find Lauren.
Yeah.
And you will not believe this. I actually could not believe this. There's a podcast dropping on Lauren. And I think they're going to do a full investigation on it. And I'm pretty sure it drops the 20th, which is tomorrow.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes. So, and that's going to be a podcast called Finding Lauren. So if you enjoyed like this episode and like are interested in Lauren's case, that might be something, really interesting to follow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And that's okay. Lauren's case.
Interesting. I'm very intrigued about that casino thing.
Yeah, isn't it interesting?
Yeah.
And creepy all at the same time.
Yeah.
The fact that the girls are drugged out is just there is something going on there. Like it must be some who even knows?
Yeah.
Like human trafficking sort of thing. That's what it honestly looks like.
Yeah. Wow. I'm gonna look into it.
Cutting drugs and doing
I'm gonna look into it.
Do it.
Yeah.
But instead of like, you know, like cutting drugs or like, I don't know, doing like having sex, they're like dealers. It's just weird. Yeah. It's so weird. I have not shut up this episode. I've been so crime obsessed this week. I can't even tell you. There's three crime things I quickly want to tell you. One is I forwarded you an article about that they found bone fragments near New Hampshire.
Yep.
And they're testing to see if they're Moira Murray.
Moira Murray, yep.
Which is a case. Again, we want to do this, like, soon. Hopefully, like, do you know what I mean? The family can get some answers. The fact that it's so close to where she went missing, like, I'm hoping for them that this is an answer because it's been, like,
10 years, I think.
Yeah, long time.
A very long time. So that's one... sort of one bit of news. Another bit of news is, and I don't know if you know about this, do you know who Robert Durst is?
Yes, I've been reading about him this week.
He freaking got found guilty.
Yep.
I am so happy. I actually was excited to see that he was found guilty.
Yeah.
Took way too long, but at least it's done.
He's very old now. Like,
isn't he?
Yeah.
I feel like he's like one of those people that like would have like a, what's that thing called? Like to his nose. Like I feel like he might be faking because he's so rich. Like he wants to look sick so he gets found not guilty or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Another story as well that I've been following. 22-year-old Gabby Petito.
Karina.
What?
This was going to be my suggestion for next week's case.
Really?
I've been following as well, yeah. It's so, so interesting.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a good idea. We should definitely cover it. All right, we won't talk about it.
Yeah, we'll do it next week because it's obviously all in the news at the moment. And it's freaking weird.
It is crazy. It is actually crazy.
Mm.
And I've been following it as well. And I'm a little bit obsessed with it. Like, I don't understand.
I feel like the whole world is obsessed with it.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, we'll save that for next week.
Yeah, I'll stop talking about it.
It's so hard because we actually haven't spoken about it together. No. So we're like, But no, all right. Lips are sealed. Let's say that for next week.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, so that's it for this week then.
It is. I hope everyone enjoyed, even though it was a shit episode. But, yeah, hopefully there are some sort of developments in Lauren's case and we can keep you posted, especially with this new podcast.
Yes. And if you have any cases you want us to cover, send us a message on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at Caffeine Crime and Canuts.
Sounds great. And until next week.
Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.